Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, that's where we're going right now. The World Happiness Report. And from that, we mentioned yesterday that young people are now becoming less happy than older generations. And this is in America, and they're predicting that the same trend will continue around the world. Dr. Coleman Nochter is our resident child and adolescent psychotherapist, and he's been looking at the World Happiness Report. Hello, Coleman.
Hi, Ray. How are you keeping?
Good. You're in our Waterford studio. I'm just going to read some quotes from the US Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy. And he says, young people are becoming less happy than older generations as they suffer the equivalent of a midlife crisis. He says young people are really struggling. He said the failure of governments to better regulate social media in recent years was insane. And he said that it was the equivalent of giving them medicine that they weren't prescribed, and that they didn't know what effect it would have. So all very damning. And people have been saying this for a long time. But now it looks like the research is pointing towards social media having a negative effect, and we have proof of it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think from the point of view of happiness is an interesting concept anyway, right, because it's sometimes kind of a momentary thing, whereas contentment might be how I would prefer to describe it. But traditionally, those 18 to 30s were the happiest bunch, and the 60 pluses. And it's kind of flipped on its head really over the last years that they're now scoring the lowest, which, as you say, I think that point about a midlife crisis is interesting, because I think maybe there's a perspective in your 20s that, you know, a midlife crisis is when you reflect on your life and kind of feel that you've not achieved what you'd hoped, or there's a kind of a sense of a bit of resignation. Whereas I would see that in young people, young adults as well, where they're kind of writing themselves off as having opportunities when they're in their early 20s. And there's that kind of sense that, sure, what's the point? I'm 25 now. And you're kind of thinking, you know, you're only starting out in your careers, and it is about managing expectation. But I think it is hard. And I think the social media piece, while it is a convenient villain, it is playing a role in it. That bombardment of the highlight reel of everyone's life that we've talked about, Ray, for a long, long time.
Yes.
It does have an impact on young people feeling any sort of traction in their lives, or that they're succeeding, because you can never succeed enough, because there'll always be 10 people who seem to be doing better.
I've jokingly remarked on conversations that I've eavesdropped on young people, and them in their late teens and early 20s saying how old they were. But from your work, is that a reality? Do they feel that they are getting old? I know that sounds mad, but you know, these. I remember I was at swimming, an 18-year-old and 20-year-old, and he was saying, "I'm so old, I'm 20." And is this something to do with social media that it's sort of speeding up the aging process?
Yeah, I mean, there's a pseudo maturity, which I describe as people wanting to be older quicker, and we're seeing that, you know, from the very early ages, that children are there's a kind of that childhood is shrinking, and children are trying to get older very quickly. So they're exposed to much more adult content and adult responsibilities much, much earlier. And I see that those probably early 20s people, that they're almost getting a little bit burnt out with that level of burden. They're carrying 10 years of that content on their shoulder. You know what I mean? From being exposed to that. Yeah. And that's why I say that kind of really premature reflective moment on your life when you're in your early 20s. It's an issue of perspective. And again, if you go back to the social media thing, it's such a gratification focused medium. So it's all about hit that, get that, right? It's all immediate. And there's no real, social media and technology have no emphasis on fulfillment, which is that kind of, you know, the slow grind. That's almost the opposite to the narrative, which is speed, convenience, quickness. And that is having an impact. And it's having an impact on how they see the world. It's that kind of Instagram thing that you can be all that you can be if you just believe in yourself. And it's utter nonsense. Like, that's not, you need a lot of more things than just belief in yourself for things to fall your way. But when you buy into that, or if that's the world that you've grown up on, it's very easy to get seduced into that understanding and seeing that as a reality. And when it doesn't inevitably work out, then there's that kind of resignation or fatalism that it's all too late, when in actual fact there's plenty of time for that sort of stuff yet.
So do you think, Coleman, it's another example of a mismatch, that we've changed our environment so much that we as human beings, who were probably built for a different time, aren't able to cope what we've invented, as in, you know, the technology and the social media, and it's messing with our mental health, in that like time has become sort of warped in some way.
Yeah, and again, it's that idea of, you know, there's decades where nothing happens, and then there's weeks where decades happen. I mean, I just think the last few years, that overcorrection, that move of the dial, shifts so severely in the other way. Like, take, for example, if you're working in the 80s, you know, a job for life, you know, if you work hard, good things will happen. Almost now, it's the opposite, you know, that you can't stay in a job, you can't appear to be settling, you can't appear to, you know, and it's always about that kind of next drive, next moment focus, as they say in sport. But it's almost too much that you're almost missing the moment that you're in because you're so next moment focused, if that makes sense. And so that, you know, what we're talking, if you think about the opposite, like what creates happiness, it's meaning and purpose are two of the most, they're the kind of most stabilizing things. A connectedness, good social relationships, and financial and material security. So if you're thinking about those being the ingredients, that social connectedness and social relationships are very fickle, because again, if it's mostly through that social media thing, but the meaning and purpose is, if it's so high octane, it's almost like a sugar rush of meaning and purpose. It's not built in over time, if that makes any sense. And so that concept of overly emphasizing gratification and completely missing out on the concept of fulfillment. Mm-hmm. But be that as it may, and I'm treating a lot of that age group, whether I think this is millennial nonsense and roll my head at it, it doesn't make any difference. I still have to meet them where they're at.
It's their reality.
Yeah. And again, if someone's mood is really low as a result of feeling that they've kind of wasted their lives, you know, I kind of have to work with them to see and
you
almost
can't
have,
say,
provide
you
a
can't
counter
say,
narrative.
Cough on, you're only 22.
You can't, because that's everyone's saying that to them, and that's not necessarily having any impact on how they feel at that moment. And I would have, I suppose, a few years ago, been cynical to that kind of millennial entitlement view, but now it's almost like, well, it doesn't matter what I think, I just have to help them to move from where they are into somewhere that is a little bit more balanced, a little bit more realistic, and has a better perspective of their own capacity.
And of course, on top of the compare and despair, there also have been fed news that the world is not in a good place. Like, you know, you've the war in Ukraine, you have Israel and Gaza, you have climate change, and more closer to home, you have the housing crisis. So they're getting fed that constantly on top of everything else.
Yeah, and again, I've often said it before, I think they're maybe braced for the next disaster, because they have had so many of these things. These are kind of one in a century events happening so quickly. But it's interesting, like, the political polarization has a role in your happiness also. Like, many people feel, how can I live in this country when half the people are terrible? Do you know what I mean? And there's that idea that, you know, and again, that's that social media split that you're either left
which isn't real.
And it's not. I mean, there's a vast majority of people who sit in the middle here who haven't got those opinions. But if you're living in that space where everything is so, you know, divisive, and you can't have an opinion, and you're terrified of offending someone, that idea of trying to exist in that world wouldn't make you feel connected. It wouldn't make you feel socially secure. And you know, another thing is having trust in your government and your organizations. Those are really important things. I think some of the Nordic countries would score very high in these happiness index.
Yeah, so Finland are the happiest. I think it's the seventh year in a row. So they are 7.74 out of 10. We are at 6.84. I think we're 10th. Is it 10th? Around 10th. Afghanistan is the lowest. They're 1.72.
And some of the things I noticed, that something like Kosovo and El Salvador at the highest murder rates, and they scored higher than Britain and US and Canada. So, you know, it's almost like it's not, you know, sometimes the more you have, the more unhappy you can be. You know, I think there's an element of that too. Do you know what I mean? There's that kind of tyranny of choice as well.
You mentioned social connections, and the Surgeon General agrees with you, and he's called for international action to improve real life social connections for young people. And we've talked about this with you before, setting up spaces where young people can like the old youth clubs, which seem to be a thing of the past. Now, I know Feroiga still exists. But there needs to be government policy to do this, because people need to meet face to face as opposed to online.
Yeah, for me, that's the big thing. I think we have to offer an alternative to the online space. I feel we're driving young people online. We're not offering them an alternative. We're shouting at them to come off their phones and they'll say, to do what?
Yeah.
And we're saying, well, tidy your room. Or, you know, we're if they gather in a group, they feel like they're antisocial, especially if they're wearing hoods or whatever. You know, there doesn't seem to be a space. Their extracurricular activities are completely over-surveilled by adults as well. So there's a kind of a sense that we need to give them something, some place to be, because if we're saying social and emotional connectedness and that social emotional fitness is so important, we have to offer them an opportunity to practice that. That's a muscle, you know, that needs to be done. And doing it through headsets or online or Snapchats or whatever it might be, it's not the same. You know, it's like trying to... You know,
and they're not mutually exclusive. You can still do that as long as you have the other thing in your life. It's like with food, you can have a bit of the bad stuff as long as you have the good stuff.
Exactly. And it's about that balance, yeah. You know, but again, it's about, I do think the alternative are, you know, creating spaces for young people. And I think we're talking about the 18s to 30s, you know, there's 12-year-olds out there that need that as well. And it's about maybe getting out ahead of it. And, you know, with the stuff with the AI and everything else that's coming down the line, you know, It's something we can't really sit in our hands with. I genuinely think there's an urgency around it, to be honest.
Just back to what you said at the very beginning about the difference between happiness and contentment. And maybe we need to readjust expectations as well, because that striving for happiness, you're just going to be disappointed, aren't you?
Yeah, I always remember I used to go and talk to transition years and used to ask them, you know, what percentage of your life do you think you feel happy or should feel happy? And then invariably say between 85-90%. And then I'd ask them what happiness is and show them a picture of these two minions laughing, and they'd say, yeah, that's happiness. And then I'd say, would you be shocked if I suggest that you spend about 1-2% of your life like that? Which is real. You know, the idea that happiness is that hysterical bent over laughing is a very momentary experience. Mm-hmm. None of us spend our lives like that. Freud would say, you know, the most you can hope for is the misery of everyday life.
And while, you know, cheery.
No, but while it's grim, it's a bit more realistic than you can be everything you want to be once you believe in yourself, which is, again, you know, I would say equally... Kind of
misleading. But I suppose, like, Buddhism would say that life is a struggle, it's suffering. And I suppose if you accept that then anything is a bonus.
Yeah, and again, I would urge us not to pathologize life. You know, as I said before, not all worry is anxiety, not all sadness is depression. These are ways in which life, it's a way of navigating
life. It's being
life.
Human.
It's part of the human experience. And again, that might, if we don't have that perception that's normal, then our perception of our own happiness is also going to be more exaggerated too.
But it is encouraging that things like, say, empathy are going to be part of the curriculum. That's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, look, there's loads of things that I think we can do, and I think we're starting to see it. But again, it's about an investment and an appetite for that, to value the stuff that's not just curricular, tangible and gradable. It's to kind of put the emphasis on the other stuff. And to be fair, I think we're getting there for sure.
Well, we'll end on that hopeful note. Coleman Doctor, thanks so much for coming into our Waterford studio. Thanks, Coleman.
Thanks, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.